Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the DBM podcast. Yesterday was Mother's Day in Ireland and the UK. So, in honor of all the fearless matriarchs around the world, today we're examining the important role of the money matriarch as an anchor point to protect and empower the nuclear family against the attacks of the fiat system and reclaim the home.
It's a really timely topic, especially when you look at what's actually happening behind the scenes.
Yeah, for sure. And for you, the listener, our mission for today's deep dive is to synthesize a really incredible stack of sources. I mean, we're looking at everything from heavy economic treatises and generational wealth playbooks right down to children's books and household management apps.
It's a pretty wild mix of materials.
Right. But we want to show you how mothers are really acting as the chief financial officers of the family right now. We'll explore how they are, you know, transitioning from these stressed out fiat consumers to calm stewards of sound money.
And setting the stage here, what's fascinating is that society almost always points to cultural shifts, right? Like, that's the reason the modern family is struggling.
Well, oh, absolutely. It's always about social media or whatever.
Exactly. But these sources reveal a completely different, purely monetary root cause. It's not just culture. It's the money itself.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because to understand the cure, you first have to diagnose the disease, right? So lay out the underlying economic problem families are actually facing today.
Well, the sources break this down into what they call the five stages of the hidden war on families. And it's all driven by the fiat monetary system. Stage one is high time preference, which they actually call the root of all evil.
High time preference, meaning like wanting things right now.
Yeah, exactly. Because inflation melts your savings, it essentially forces families to spend now rather than save. It penalizes patience. And that destroys the ultimate low-time preference activity, which is raising children.
Wow. Okay, because kids take decades of investment with no immediate financial return.
Right. Which leads right into stage two, the destruction of capital and the two-income trap.
Okay, let's unpack this too. Because wait, isn't the two-income household a triumph of modern progress? I mean, women entering the workforce, career fulfillment, isn't that a good thing?
Well, culturally, many argue yes. But the sources are looking purely at the math. They point out that wages have basically stayed flat while housing, education, and healthcare have exploded.
Oh, I see.
So they argue that a lot of families are forced to have both parents in the workforce, not out of choice or empowerment, but out of sheer desperation. Just to pay the bills.
It sounds like fiat money is a treadmill where the government keeps increasing the speed, but your legs stay the exact same length. Eventually, everyone gets thrown off the back.
That is exactly it. That's a great way to put it. And when you get thrown off, you hit stage three, which the sources call fiat food and physical degeneration.
Wait, fiat food? How does the monetary system affect what I'm eating?
It's sneaky. It has to do with the CPI, the Consumer Price Index. They use this thing called substitution to mask inflation.
Substitute.
Yeah, so if real nutrient-dense food like steak gets too expensive, the CPI formula just assumes you'll buy chicken instead. And if chicken is too expensive, they swap it for cheap soy or beans.
Oh, wow. So the inflation number looks fine on paper, but your actual diet is getting worse.
Yeah, exactly. The sources argue that families are basically being gaslit into buying cheap, subsidized industrial sludge, you know, seed oils, high fructose corn syrup. And they link this directly to the physical and mental degeneration we're seeing in kids.
That's a heavy claim, but assuming that's true, I can see how that leads to stage four, the legacy of broken bonds.
Yeah, it's pretty tragic. Because economic stress pulls parents out of the home, right? They're exhausted.
They're just trying to survive.
Right. So that deep emotional regulation that kids need gets replaced with what researchers call harsh parenting, yelling, emotional detachment, coercion.
Just because the parents are stretched too thin. Which brings us to stage five, the outsourcing to the state. And the sources call this the broken leg fallacy.
Yeah, the broken leg fallacy. The analogy is that the state breaks the family's financial legs with inflation and then magnanimously hands them a crutch.
Like public daycares or expanded welfare.
Exactly. And the critique here, and keep in mind, we're just reporting what the sources argue, is that these state institutions demand loyalty and compliance rather than teaching kids critical thinking. They replace the parent.
Wow. Okay, so that is an incredibly grim reality of fiat. It's a very systemic critique. Let's pivot, though, to the mathematical sanctuary of sound money. How does shifting to an absolutely scarce digital asset actually fix this family crisis?
Well, the sources point heavily to Bitcoin. They describe it as pristine collateral and a triple point asset.
A triple point asset. What does that mean in this context?
It means it perfects the three rules of money. It's a store of value, a medium of exchange, and a unit of account. But the key is the absolute scarcity. It divorces wealth preservation from the government's debasement machine.
Because it's capped at 21 million. Forever.
Right. By holding an asset that cannot be inflated, families can actually escape that fiat decay.
I want to jump in here with some mind-blowing specific data from the sources just to prove the math to you, the listener. Let's look at the average U.S. home price.
Oh, this is the best example.
It really is. So in 2016, an average U.S. home cost $288,400. In Bitcoin, that was 664 BTC.
664 Bitcoin.
Right.
Fast forward to 2020, that same home cost $320,900. But in Bitcoin, the price had dropped to 45 BTC.
That's a huge drop in real terms.
And it gets crazier. In 2024, the dollar price surged to $434,700. But in Bitcoin, it plummeted to just 6.6 BTC, from 664 to 6.6 in 8 years.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it completely flips the script for families. When a family's purchasing power actually compounds rather than collapses, the single-income household becomes viable again.
Because your savings are actually doing the heavy lifting for you.
Exactly. It gives families back the ultimate luxury, which is the choice and the time to raise their own children.
And inside the home, what the research shows is that the primary driver of this financial revolution is the mother.
Oh, without a doubt. The stats on this are pretty definitive.
Yeah, let me show these stats from the stack. Women currently control or influence 80 to 85% of consumer spending. And nearly 90% manage or co-manage household finances.
They're running the show.
And over 40% of children rely heavily on their mother's earnings. So how does a mother adopting a sound money mindset, becoming a money matriarch, actually alter the family's trajectory?
It changes the entire family treasury system. For starters, it kills mindless consumerism. Discretionary spending isn't just about whether you have the cash right now. It's weighed against the concept of foregone sats.
Foregone sats, like the opportunity cost of not buying Satoshis the fractions of a Bitcoin.
Right. Buying that $1,000 TV today means giving up what could be $10,000 of purchasing power in a few years. It naturally teaches the family delayed gratification.
That makes total sense. And the sources also talk about how these mothers are instituting collaborative security.
Yes, multi-signature wallets, or multi-sig.
How does that work in a family setting?
Basically, it eliminates single points of failure. Say a mother sets up a 2 of 3 multi-sig. It means there are 3 digital keys. But any transaction requires 2 of them to be approved.
So no single person can just impulse buy a boat.
Exactly. Or if someone loses a device or gets hacked, the family's wealth is still safe. It forces communication. And it prompts the creation of family investment policies, too.
Treating the household like a small family office?
Right, with the same level of rigor and discipline.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Think about how this shifts power dynamics. A mother who is mastering self-custody and private keys, she's not just balancing a checkbook anymore.
No, not at all.
She's taking sovereign control over multi-generational wealth. I mean, the sources talk about this upcoming great wealth transfer, all this money passing down. If she knows crypto, she avoids the tragic loss of inheritance through lost passwords or inflation.
It's profound. But it does bring up a huge challenge. How do these money matriarchs actually pass this knowledge down?
Right, because how do you explain abstract digital scarcity to a 7-year-old without their eyes glazing over?
It's tough.
Hey.
But the sources outline some really specific practical tools parents are using for financial socialization.
Like that app, PiggyLearn.
Yeah, PiggyLearn's a great example. It's a virtual banking simulator for kids 4 and up. And the beauty is it doesn't put real money at risk.
So it's a sandbox.
Exactly. It has these features called pockets for setting goals, and it simulates interest. But the best part is the growth locks.
I saw that in the notes. Growth locks teach patience, right?
Yeah, it locks the virtual funds for a set period. It physically prevents the kid from spending until the lock expires, which teaches the absolute patience of delayed gratification.
That's brilliant. And for younger kids, there are actually books, like Hedgie's Bitcoin Story.
Yes. I love the breakdown of this book in the sources. It uses fort-building animals to teach the origin of money.
And the characters are so clever. You've got Hedgie the Hedgehog, who's this free market optimist.
And then there's Richard Raccoon.
Right. The deceitful banker. Who literally mimics Richard Nixon and inflation by printing too many paper receipts for the fort.
It's such a smart way to explain the gold standard shock to a kid, and then Carl Caterpillar comes in.
Representing the economist Carl Menger, teaching them about sound money.
And Satoshi Salamander, the tech innovator who brings a digital solution. It makes high-level macroeconomics totally digestible.
And as they get older, the sources mention the Tuttle twins. These books and academy resources bypass traditional schooling entirely.
Right. They feature these kids, Ethan and Emily Tuttle.
And they teach real history, critical thinking, the economics of free markets. The sources say it literally gives parents the dinner table back because kids actually have complex things to talk about.
They do, though the experts in our sources are careful to note that teaching crypto isn't just a fun game.
There are real risks.
Exactly. It requires explaining extreme volatility. You have to teach them that the blockchain ledger is permanent. If you mess up, the money is gone.
So you have to teach digital hygiene.
Right. Never sharing your seed phrase, taking personal responsibility for your digital footprint. It's heavy stuff for a kid, but it's necessary.
So, bringing this all together, what does this all mean for you, the listener? We've talked about the economic traps, the math of Bitcoin, and the tools for kids.
Well, the sources make a really deep philosophical connection here. They argue that peaceful parenting is actually a triumph of low time preference.
Wait, really? How does the money supply affect how you talk to your toddler?
Think about it. In a fiat system, everyone is rushed, stressed, and poor on time. So parenting relies on authority. Do this because I said so. It's top down.
Because you just don't have the time to explain it.
Right. But a Bitcoin system verifies truth through math, not authority. Don't trust, verify. So when parents adopt this mindset and they step off that stressful fiat treadmill, their parenting shifts.
They actually have the time and patience for reason.
Exactly. Reason, empathy, and voluntary cooperation. You aren't just raising compliant subjects for the state to manage. You are raising sovereign individuals.
That is incredibly powerful. And it really frames this whole movement, transitioning from fiat consumers to calm stewards of sound money. It's framed as the most revolutionary act of our time. It's a massive salute to the mothers choosing this harder, truer path, building an orange-pilled family that just opts out of the rat race.
It is. And, consider this. What if the greatest inheritance a money matriarch leaves her children isn't a multi-signature wallet full of Bitcoin, but the unshakable low-time preference mindset required to hold it? By teaching them to value the future over the present, she makes them wealthy long before they ever receive the keys.
Wow, that was a lot to unpack. Let's hear it for the money matriarchs working to build the next generation of sovereign, savvy kids. Thanks for joining us today, and don't forget to keep your learning leveled up by joining us on the DBM Academy Wealth Builder Series. Find the link in the show notes below.